You're now tuned in to Sheriff Says...
What's up?
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
What's up? It's your boy Sheriff. I got Craig on the phone with me. Craig, say what's up.
Hey, how you doing? What's up?
Alright, you guys. We got a fucking crazy show for you. We're gonna get ripped. What's up? I'm gonna let you start this off, Craig. Tell me something cool and funny or something. Tell me about your day today. Let's start with that.
It's pretty good. Yeah, just hanging out. Getting people signed up and then they get voted.
It's
the whole thing. It's really good.
Yeah, you're gonna get people voting and shit. That's what's up.
Yeah.
What are you gonna get people to vote for?
Get people to vote for me. Because I'm gonna have the U.S. Senate and Arizona, so I'm getting people to vote and just registering people to vote in general.
Well, that's what's up. So tell us more about your campaign, will you?
All right, so me and my team, we've been campaigning really heavy, working for my election. I've got this U.S. Senate campaign going in Arizona. I'm running for election in 2020. And we're going to replace Martha McSally, who's in the seat currently that was vacated by John McCain due to his untimely passing. So we've been working really hard to get people involved, get them registered to vote, because a lot of people have, you know, registration errors and problems that they've got to correct based on previous addresses and things like that, because people move around the country. So been doing the basic stuff like that. It's just kind of a public service where obviously we want to get as many people registered to vote as possible. So that's something that we do. And we've been really racking up the new donors and getting everything going, getting people involved. It's an all grassroots movement. We're not taking tons of corporate cash or dark money. There's none of that. There's just a lot of hard work and a lot of really great people that believe in the cause of liberty and making America great again and securing our borders, ending the Federal Reserve. That's what our campaign is all about. One of my plans that won't cost people anything is to open up the rules on foreclosures. So when banks have a foreclosed property, taxpayers already pay for the majority of the maintenance and the insurance for that property. So that property currently under the law can't be used for anything. But if we remove those regulations, we can use it for rent, or we can use it to temporarily house people who are homeless, or a variety of other things. And it doesn't cost us any additional money because the taxpayers are already paying for foreclosures. They're already paying to insure and maintain those properties. But right now, no one is allowed to live in them while they're foreclosed, which doesn't make any sense if the taxpayer is paying for it and it's being maintained and it's being insured, then why not rent it out? Why not at least salvage some of the money that's going into it? Otherwise, it becomes a waste gap. And a waste gap is essentially stop loss for economics. It's lost money that could be turning a profit. It becomes a sunk cost over time, gradually, with a lot of these foreclosed properties. If you look at California, how they've got so many vacant homes in California, because of the foreclosure rules and because of how they're allowed to utilize those properties. So if we open them up, we can go from so many empty houses in California. It varies. It's been as high as 18%. In some regions, it's as low as 6%. But to have that many open houses, those houses could house almost every homeless person in the United States, just empty houses in California. So we've got to fix the foreclosure rules. We've got to do reimbursements. Can't waste any money. It won't cost us anything that we're not already spending, but it'll alleviate a large portion of the homeless problem in America. We've really got to do something about these no-knock gun raid laws, these red flag laws that are coming out. And a lot of the state legislatures, and even Governor Ducey in Arizona, have signed and authorized for these laws, and they need to be prevented and stopped because they're dangerous. No-knock raids can kill and injure humans and animals, can destroy property. And the simple court procedure that authorizes these raids is not nearly safe enough to be used in a live environment. It threatens the lives of innocent people on a wide scale. And so we have to reject these no-knock raids. We've really got to do something about these no-knock gun raid laws, these red flag laws that are coming. The Second Amendment guarantees us the right to bear arms, and the Fourth Amendment protects us from unconstitutional search and seizure. So we've got to uphold the Constitution. And these red flag laws, which many sheriffs across the country have pledged to reject and not uphold, these ridiculous, unconstitutional gun laws, to the point where they're willing to go to jail just to say no to these bad and unjust laws, and I commend them for that. We've got to stop these unjust laws from being enacted, from being signed. We've got to get rid of all of these unconstitutional measures. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you can't authorize unconstitutional laws. They don't belong, and especially dangerous no-knock laws that have caused property damage and death and harm to innocent people. So we've really got to take a good look at our policy and make sure we're keeping everything together, keeping it safe. One of the major problems with Martha McSally is that her priorities are out of whack. Today, she wants $4.5 billion that she wants to mostly give to illegals. Now, the White House wanted to give the money to the wall, to border security, to DHS, to ICE, to the people that are deporting the illegals, or at least keeping us safe from them in that capacity and doing a really good job of that. But instead, she wants to have amnesty. She wants them to come across the border. She wants all that money to be used to construct free houses. That's $4.5 billion for free housing, for health care, for benefits, for schools, for all this nonsense. And today also, she wanted a tomato trade deal continuation. So she wants to keep the part of a bad trade deal called NAFTA that's only supported by 30% of the U.S., and even then, they've acknowledged that it's still far from perfect. The majority of the U.S. opposes NAFTA, and yet Martha wants to keep the bad provisions of NAFTA intact. So instead of having a focus on a wall, on border security, on proper deportation and the proper role of protecting the rule of law in our country, Martha wants tomato socialism. Let's just call it what it is. It's tomato socialism. And she wants $4.5 billion, that's billion with a B, in benefits for illegals. Meanwhile, our homeless population is at all-time highs in Phoenix. We have never had this many homeless people in the state of Arizona in our history. It's at all-time highs. It's risen 22% the past year. It's skyrocketing. It's out of control. There are tents everywhere downtown. They're blocks away from the police station, the courthouse. Everyone knows who they are. And instead of helping those people that desperately need our help, we're shipping more and more illegals in via catch and release. And Martha McSally wants to give them full amnesty. On June 27th of 2018, she voted for Paul Ryan's amnesty bill, which would give full amnesty to over 2.2 million illegals. And now that number has risen to 3 million since that time. So instead of talking about the real serious issues that most of Arizona is talking about, like the free speech problem with Twitter and these social media companies, how they're censoring all of us, instead of talking about how we need to end the Federal Reserve, which President Trump rightly called the problem with our economy, the problem, not a problem, not one of the problems, he called it the problem with our economy. Instead of talking about the United Nations, or instead of talking about our role in the world stage, Martha McSally is talking about amnesty and tomatoes. And the people are catching on. They're not stupid. They want to know what's going to happen to their Social Security. They want to know what's going to happen to their livelihood. And I'm the only candidate that has a comprehensive, long-form, serious policy plan of over 200 issues. And I intend to take all these policy plans to Washington. We're going to do full audits. We're going to have full transparency. You're going to know more about your government than you ever wanted to, because I'm going to make them open up and they're going to say, here's the audit. Here's the information to you, the public. No matter what party you're in, you're going to benefit from my audit plan. And then I'm going to start hammering out legislation based on that audit, based on that transparency, based on a level of information that the public has never before had access to. from third-party audits and from congressional committees and from all sorts of deep dive informational lookouts. You are going to know so much about your government. You're going to say, Craig, I don't want to know this much about my government. I'm going to say, tough, deal with it. We're going to keep winning. We're going to keep learning. So the big thing that happened today was John Kapoor, who's a billionaire, CEO of NSYS, was convicted. He was found guilty of bribing doctors to prescribe fentanyl. And the reason this is a big deal is because John Kapoor is a major donor to John McCain, was a major donor to Mitt Romney, was a major donor and assistant. He provided logistics support to Kyrsten Sinema via Compass Strategies. He also gave $500,000 to Sheila Polk, who collectively with Governor Ducey and DA Bill Montgomery ran this anti-marijuana firm called Arizonans for Responsible Drug Policy. So this is a huge hit, and now that he's been proven guilty, Sheila Polk, Doug Ducey, and Bill Montgomery should have to give back any money they took from John Kapoor. Knowing that he's now been convicted of this heinous crime, these are the people that are telling you that marijuana is awful while they're bribing doctors to prescribe fentanyl. So we've really got to take a hard look about our actual drug policy in America. We've got to lean up, because as many as 80% of our country have tried marijuana, and we haven't had any major side effects from that as compared to a similar number drink alcohol. We've seen the issues with alcohol. We know alcohol is dangerous, but it's totally legal, as opposed to marijuana, where it doesn't have the same consequences as alcohol. I mean, there are still consequences. You still have to be responsible. You still have to drive responsibly. There's that, of course. But seeing that and then seeing fentanyl, where we have a fentanyl epidemic in this country, somewhere between 10,000 and 16,000 people die every year from overdosing on fentanyl. And, you know, that's wrong. That's something we've really got to take a look at. I'm glad that he was convicted of that, because the bribes and the illegal racketeering influence in our medical system from pharmaceutical companies and all these other outsiders that want to control our right to medicine, it really has to be stopped. We can't allow this outside influence to invoke corruption in our politics. Now, where McSally comes into that is Doug Ducey, Governor Ducey, appointed Martha McSally to the U.S. Senate. She was one of his top picks. She's been a good buddy of his. She's also good friends with Mitt Romney. There are all sorts of smiling, happy press photos of Martha McSally with Mitt Romney. He's one of our biggest fans. And at one point, just to try to appear above the radar, she actually wound up trying to reject the support of Mitt Romney, but no one really bought it, because at the end of the day, Martha McSally is just like Mitt Romney. She's just like John McCain as a politician. She's nothing like John McCain, the soldier. John McCain, the soldier, you could argue, was an incredible prisoner of war, really resilient, really did a really good job at not telling his captors anything and upholding the honor of our country. But John McCain, the politician, was not John McCain, the soldier. And Martha McSally is a lot more like John McCain, the politician, than John McCain, the soldier. I see it as a political move where Kyrsten Sinema, after a lifelong career as a Mormon, who graduated from Brigham Young University, the top Mormon college in the country, she's now decided in the past few years that she no longer believes in religion. Now, I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm saying the timing is oddly convenient, considering, to where I believe that it was a political move for her to reject religion in order to attract more of the progressive left. And I believe that she still probably has personal religious views, but to the public, she wants to be seen as rejecting the evangelicalism of Pence. But what it comes across as is purely political. It's not religious. It's a statement that's based on politics. She wants to attract that voting segment. So rather than actually supporting the Constitution, what she did is she offended a lot of people who are believers. And I think that probably was not the correct move. Still not as offensive as demanding a Quran, but definitely a political move. It's done for votes. The reason why all of these Democrats now have demanded to swear in on something other than the Bible is to tap into the progressive voting left. It's not a message about religion. It's a message about votes. I think a lot of Democrats learned from Colin Kaepernick's kneeling on a football field and used that protest. They learned from it. And now their rejection of the standard process of swearing in is their attempt to replicate that in a similar fashion because they think they'll get votes out of it. They see it as a popular appeal. So they're basically ripping off Colin Kaepernick's idea, but it's a political version of that.
Craig carries on to say it's a protest stunt. It's not going to change anything, but the media will.
What pisses you off the most? What's got you really heated in politics right now?
It really upsets me to think that the $4.5 billion that should be going to our people is going to illegals instead. I was telling you that earlier today, and it's just unacceptable. A lot of people, likewise, are very angry and very upset, very sad, that money that should be going to help our country is instead going to illegals, and it just has to stop immediately. George Soros and Drummond Pike and all these other left-wing billionaires should be audited immediately for campaign finance violations because they're giving all sorts of dark money to these candidates through these umbrella groups. It's illegal. It's very obvious that they're circumventing the process. A lot of people talk about dark money, but they never name the billionaires by name that are doing the dark money. So it's Drummond Pike, it's George Soros, it's a few other guys. It's probably Michael Bloomberg too. I wouldn't be surprised if Bloomberg and Bezos and a lot of these other people are engaging in dark money. We should have a full audit of every billionaire in the US to see where they're sending money to. We can't have anonymous campaign finance. That's a violation of the FEC rules. We've got to uphold the rules, and so we need to do audits to find out where the money is going, who is it going to, what's it being used for. We need a full investigation of Soros and everyone else, full transparency. And if we find that even the slightest thing is off, there should be penalties, there should be consequences. Because I thoroughly believe that George Soros and Drummond Pike and Michael Bloomberg and a lot of these billionaires have violated the law.
Well, if they audited George Soros, boy, they'd find some dirty, dirty money. You sure are right about that.
When you look at the campaign finance violations of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and many of these other Democratic politicians, the root cause behind all that money is Drummond Pike and the Tides Foundation, George Soros, who are funneling money to them through these dark money groups. And the FEC is aware that it's happening now. We just need a full investigation, and some people need to face some consequences. Consequences could be jail, they could be fines, they could be asset forfeiture. There are many, many options that the Department of Justice can use to prosecute. But make no mistake, they need to prosecute. Something a lot of people need to be aware of is that these social media bans, these long-term suspensions and shadow bans, they're not happening by accident, and they're not happening because the company's had a sudden change of mind or heart. They're happening because someone is paying for them. And in most cases, that someone is Drummond Pike and the Tides Foundation through CARE, through Move On, through the ACLU, through the Southern Poverty Law Center, through a lot of these groups that are under the Tides Foundation umbrella that you've heard of, but a lot of you may never have heard of the Tides Foundation. Tides Foundation is behind a lot of the censorship online, and it's behind a lot of the anti-right-wing activism, and it's also behind a lot of the dark money that's going to the Democrats. I'm not really a big Pizzagate believer. If you are, more power to you. But I am deeply against sex trafficking. One of the key cases of sex trafficking that's happened over the past two decades is in the United Nations, where there are many well-documented cases of sex trafficking in over 40 countries around the world, including former Yugoslavia and Haiti and Lebanon and Zimbabwe and all sorts of other places. So if you're really interested in Pizzagate, I recommend you investigate what's happening with the United Nations, because there's real proven sex trafficking happening there still in foreign countries, and the USA really needs to get out of the United Nations.
Hillary Clinton did get caught saying that she was going to make a sacrifice to the Moloch in the deleted emails that she had leaked bit off the server. And it's being reported that Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch is still getting hands on all types of war emails and messages that she had sent out. And she has 700 and I think it was 46 more messages that were found by Tom Fitton. It's somewhere around that number. So and I'm not saying that it has anything to do with the Pizzagate scandal, but I just think it's kind of funny the timing of all of this, and then we talk about something that they're making sacrifices to. And you know, the rumor is that it's sacrificing children. And whenever you look back into the history of Alaskan indigenous, they used to sacrifice children and slaves to signify that this was a rich person's house. It would give the house more value. And also, they said that sacrifices were going on in Jerusalem again for the Lord, or for, well, I don't know what they're making sacrifices for, but I'm assuming that it's for the Lord, you know, being as how it's Jerusalem and everything. But they're saying that they were starting back up, and now none of that has been confirmed yet as far as what they were saying about the Jerusalem sacrifices. I believe that's where it was. But they did say that it had started back up again, and you know, I had read in the Bible that's what they were doing, and they were sacrificing things to God.
I wouldn't be surprised. We live in a really crazy time, and people are capable of some really crazy things, some really crazy, insane, and terrible things. But in terms of Hillary, we know that she sent over 100,000 messages that she's deleted, and many of them are indicative of the kind of corruption that she's been involved in. Anyone else at this point would probably be in jail. But through privilege and through her connections and through very evasive spending and clever and calculated moves, she's been able to avoid prison. Anyone else that tried this similar behavior would have been locked up years ago.
What's your take on the Obama Spygate scandal, where Obama was spying on candidates? Because you were saying that he attacked you with the the FCC. And also, I was campaigning for Trump, so I think he kind of used that to spy on me. But I won't know unless I read some of these documents that are coming out, the FISA warrants. I don't know if there was ever any FISA warrants that were placed on me and you as well. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with any of this blacklist, or how we ended up on the blacklist at all. Like, this is crazy. And the thing that McSally has played her fair share in making sure that we stay on some kind of blacklist, because we don't fit her narrative and we don't go along with her agenda. I think it's very, not only unfair politics, but it's unlawful. The way we've been attacked, and both of our campaigns have been attacked. Well, mine so bad that I had to skip state twice over. And now I'm already thinking about, I don't know, maybe moving to LA. I don't know. At this point, I don't know what I want right now. I have no idea. All I know is that I want to fix the country. But I mean, like, what's your take on this whole Obamagate, Obama Spygate? You know, this is all part of the Mueller investigation now. It's like Mueller investigation is like part two or part three of this. Like, this has been going on for so long. We've been victimized for so long by this. At least I feel. What do you think about all this?
Well, we have to go back a little bit. So we're going to get in the time machine. We're going to go back in time in 2000. One of the first things that Obama did when he got elected was he started upping our ability to procure information as the United States of America. So he began bolstering the CIA, began bolstering the FBI, then began increasing the power of all of these other agencies. And as he did that, as these agencies and his executive power continued to grow, in 2012 and 2013, he and John Brennan conspired against whistleblower Edward Snowden, who defected to Russia. Now, when he defected to Russia and blew the whistle on so many corrupt happenings in our government, Obama went from a policy of endorsing Russia and giving one of his first speeches as president in Moscow in the hopes that we would have U.S. and Russia relations that would be beneficial to both of us. Now, after the Snowden thing happened, Brennan told Obama to immediately cancel all that and make Russia our enemy. So from that point on, in 2013, Russia, which we had previously supported and wanted to be part of, suddenly became a national enemy. Right after that, John Brennan was exposed by WikiLeaks as illegally using the CIA to spy on people at the direction of Barack Obama. So Barack Obama had been commanding the CIA to spy on people illegally since 2013. You look forward to the elections and you'll see that he didn't slow that down. As we got into that later that year in 2013 and the beginning of 2014, he began having the FTC investigate me using the same sort of spying tactics. Now, they didn't actually contact me until long after any of that happened, but the spying tactics were already in play, where they were having people monitor us for years. They were having their connections in the Department of Justice and other parts of the government illegally spy on us and illegally monitor us. They were conducting PR and political warfare against us from the executive level. So it's crazy to think that we are still suffering the effects of having been singled out in the same way that our president was singled out during the election by the same president, same ex-president Barack Obama, and the same administration via John Brennan and a lot of these guys, who still have a grudge against Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks and a lot of these other people that have exposed them for doing illegal things, for spying on us, for using the government in ways that it wasn't intended to be used. We're still on a blacklist now as a result of the actions of President Obama. So I can tell you that 70% of the country wants us to investigate Obama's spying. I can tell you conclusively that yes, he spied on people illegally. It's common knowledge, or it should be common knowledge, that he spied on people illegally. John Brennan, who was the Washington Post source for a lot of their bad stories about President Trump, including the supposed Russian hacking of a Vermont power plant that turned out to be a total hoax, but that information came directly from ex-CIA head John Brennan, who was exposed as an illegal hacker, as an illegal spy, as someone who pried into your information, my information, everybody's information. So John Brennan, the top spy, was also Obama's bitch. There's really no other way to put it. John Brennan was Obama's bitch. He was Obama's spy bitch. And he had him go about doing all of his dirty CIA spy work unethically against civilians in ways that were never intended to be used against civilians in violation of the Fourth Amendment. John Brennan should be in jail. Obama should be investigated. And Obama should probably be in jail too. We should also definitely pardon Julian Assange, who has done nothing wrong and has been a good and ethical servant of the public interest and of journalism.
How do you feel about Obama attacking us with fake news also?
That's pretty obvious. He's got the same PR people that helped him get elected, and they've all been in the tank for him. So they covered him during the presidency, and now they treat him like he's still the president, even though he stopped being president a few years ago. They still want to believe that he's the president and that the election never happened, and that's why a lot of this continues. In particular, in terms of our case, I got really tired of seeing people that I knew were affiliated with the Obama administration that were friendlies exposed by WikiLeaks as being friendly reporters to the Democratic Party and Obama. I got really tired of reading hit pieces that were negative and not true and false and misleading and all sorts of wild claims about things they knew nothing about because they were paid to attack us by both private industry and individuals and public industry and the government.
So what you're basically saying is that we were attacked with a bunch of smear campaigns, correct?
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. The FTC, basically for all their talk, printed a glorified blog post that basically attacked us. So that's all it really was them emulating the press tactics that were used against the president. And there was never really any real intent to do anything other than to attack us falsely, to spread a false and misleading account of what actually happened, just like the press does. So it was all a PR hit.
What do you suggest that they stand to gain from composing all of this?
I think it's important to remember that government maintains its strength through its perceived ideological legitimacy, which means that PR campaigns and fake news and all of that is used to maintain the appearance that they're doing the right thing, especially when they're not, in order to maintain the status quo. So we've been always outside the status quo. We've been revolutionaries and thinkers. And we communicate in such a way that exposes the flaws in this fake legitimacy that keeps being pressed upon us by bad government, by the Obama regime, and all of these other systems of government that tell you they're legitimate, but they're really corrupt.
Okay, next podcast question. What do you think we should do about Obama altogether? Based on all the 8 years he's been a part of our lives and these last couple that he hasn't, what do you think we should really do about Obama?
We should lock him up and put him in jail right next to Hillary. Since they both are unsure what gender they actually are, they're both corrupt gendered. They both identify as corruption. So we should just lock the door. We can even put him in the same cell. Just lock them both up.
What are your thoughts on the whole LGBT alien sex change movement? What are your thoughts on that?
I love the alien sex change movement. I just hope they phone home. Aliens can enter America, they just have to enter legally. So I support legal extraterrestrial immigration.
Speaking of illegal entry into the country, the people who are refugees and claiming amnesty, they all come from these certain spots of South America that I had traveled to in April of 2017. Now what had happened is I took a cruise to the Caribbean. We stopped in Honduras, Belize, and Cozumel, Mexico. It seems to me that there's tons of people coming from Honduras, and that's the most local spot that you can get down and actually talk to local people at. Also in Cozumel, Mexico. Those two spots are the spots that you can do that the most. In Belize, it's not so easy to talk to the locals. They're sectioned off from you. But in these other two stops, it seems like it's more easier for the public to have access to the cruise ship passengers. In Belize, it was not easy. There's a whole wall and you have to have access to get in there. It's crazy. But my question is, who do you think is a big enough sad sack that they would sit around watching me, stalking me, seeing the trip that I took and be jealous enough to take that trip, but on top of that, be corrupt enough to corrupt all the people in these cities that they're stopping at and telling them that there is refuge here
that they should take refuge in America and anything else that they have falsely promised them, as if this is their promised land, when we all know that it's not. The only thing waiting here for them is judgment and people that just cannot afford to take them on. Who do you think is to blame for that? Because I sit here and I'm thinking and I'm thinking and I'm thinking and I'm like, man, somebody went behind me and stopped at all these places and started promising them the world. Who do you think would have done that?
A lot of these left-wing groups are spending a lot of money to bring these people here illegally, which really is crazy, because you think they could spend some money and just get them here legally, have them do the paperwork, have them come into the country legally, but instead they're spending all kinds of money to bring them into the country illegally. And we really have to do something about that, because it's pretty obvious that these groups are spending money to make that happen. I can tell you that some of the money is Drummond Pike's money, some of it's money from George Soros, but then there's also money from the establishment Democrat Party and from the Service Employees International Union and some of the other union groups, where they're actually disenfranchising their own union membership by giving money to groups that are trying to bring illegals here that will take jobs away from union workers.
Oh, all right, so basically, George Soros and son and company and all his friends. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, the guy that lives next door, up in his window, it says Proud Union Home. So, yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, he wouldn't have to put that up if there wasn't a problem. You know what I mean? Him with his sign. I just think that's pretty funny that, you're taking this to areas that I kind of am neglecting, and not by purpose, but because I've been misdirected and my thoughts have been distorted in such a way by all the things I've been being shown and everything going on, that I don't even sit around and think about details like that, because I couldn't possibly with the way my mind has been warped, you know, in such a brutal fashion, I'll put it like that. Like, imagine if the fashion police showed up and was like, you know what, you can't wear them shoes, and they beat you up because of it. They Jussie Smalls you. Because you got the wrong shoes on, man. Man, I just, wow. I don't even want to go there. Yeah, Proud Union Home. So thanks for touching on that. That's pretty cool, man. I didn't even think about it like that. I just really didn't. The thought did not even cross my mind. Because, you know, with everything going on, I'm wondering, well, what does a union home have to deal with, to do with this? Like, why are union homes under attack all of a sudden for this guy to have to put a sign up? It made no sense to me, you know? But now, the way you put it that way, they're attacking America from the inside out. The unions, everything that makes America great, and America, they will attack it. There's no doubt about that, and it's sick to see. It's really, it's very medieval. It seems as if the attitude and morale of the left, which was the founding party of all politics here in America, is a Democratic Party. Democratic Party has become so corrupt that they're not even their base beliefs anymore. They don't even act upon their base beliefs. It's not even about their beliefs anymore. It's about their agenda. And that's no politician in my eyes. That's a threat. That's a threat to our government, our people, our well-being, our safety. That is a bona fide terrorist act and a terrorist threat. The fact that we are still allowing these people to be in office is beyond my comprehension. It's beyond what I can even begin to fathom and understand. Because if it was up to me, these people would have been kicked out of office as soon as I caught wind of something like this going on.
shoot first, ask questions later, in my opinion. Because there's no reason for us to even pretend like it's okay for A, he jobs to be in office. Not a person, what they're wearing and what it stands for. That has nothing to do with religious beliefs, religious rights. That's a straight up disrespect and a step to our flag. They're stepping on our flag, bro. That's the way I feel about that. And I'm not gonna change my opinion about it because it's facts, it's not opinion. I'd love to sit here and say that everything I just told you is all opinion. But it's not, dude. It's facts what I'm saying. They're in office, it's disrespectful what they're doing, and we're not doing anything about it. As far as a collective government and body of people go, we are collectively not doing anything about what they're doing to us, to our flag, to our country, to our people. Honestly, it's a miserable mindset. It's a life of misery. They want us to be miserable because they're miserable. And they will do anything to attack us, no matter what, because of the way we stand with Israel. It's pretty sad that all this stems from Israel. And I don't even want to talk about anti-Semitism. It's not. I'm completely convinced it's not about Semitism, anti-Semitism, anything like that. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. What matters is the fact that what you stand for defends Israel and what they have done in Israel and what they continue to do in Israel. But my question is why aren't we sitting these two sides down and having a conversation about this? Now, this has migrated way over from what we were originally talking about, but this is what it comes down to, in my opinion, in my eyes, the way I see it is, blacks and whites need to sit down and have a conversation in a public forum, on TV and all that. Not to start racism, not to start hate groups, not to start war, but to come to some common understanding and common ground so that we can say, you know what? This is something we can all agree on, for the most part at least. And then also, for the people, not Jews, but people in Jerusalem that want to live and, you know, worship the things that they worship and do the things that they do where they're at, in Israel, in the Palestinians. But we also need to find out why the other side does not want that. Nobody is asking the right questions. Nobody is tackling this the way it needs to be tackled. And that's the most frustrating part about this to me, is that we are sitting on the sidelines and not coming up with things that make sense because of all the distractions, because of all the Obamas, because of all the Ellen DeGeneres's, because of all the Las Vegas shootings, because of all the New Zealand crap, this, that, and the other. We can't rationally come together and do anything about it because of everything that's being thrown at us. I mean, do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, there are legitimate criticisms of Israel because Israel as a government isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It's still a government, and it's still a large government on an international scale. But a lot of it really is people that are behind the Islamic State and people that are behind this Palestine movement, where there really is no Palestine. A lot of people talk about the Palestinian state, but the Palestinian state is really territory that's divided amongst Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Saudi Arabia, other nations in that part of the world. And there is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. There is no Palestine. But that idea, that Palestinian idea, that invasion and annexation of Israel by Islam is really what they're on about. It's less about anti-Semitism and more about pro-Islamization. So what they really want is an Islamic invasion of Israel. They think most of the territory should belong to Palestine or the neighboring Islamic countries, but they can't actually iterate where on the map they would actually give territory to. So it's a way of attacking people that live there and supporting these foreign terror groups. It's less racial and it's more about Islam and terror and getting those dollars, because Soros and these groups, they fund this group called the Council for American Islamic Relations, or CARE, and CARE gives them moral support because Fox News has invited CARE and their representatives on 200 times in the past 18 months. It's now 200 times that affiliates of CARE have gone on Fox News, of all places, where Fox News has essentially acted as a mouthpiece for Islam, while they blacklisted the rest of us so we can't talk about our views on air. And it's really crazy. It's why Judge Jeanine was pulled off the air. It's why Tucker Carlson was given a warning and almost pulled off the air. It's why a lot of the network is now treading on eggshells about this Islamic controversy, even though there's not really a controversy to tread on eggshells about, because it's in plain sight that these pro-Islam groups are taking over our networks, they're taking over our society, and they are against everything that America stands for and the American way of life. So, it's really important that we stop the invasion on all fronts, stop the Islamic invasion and the invasion of our borders. We have to focus on legal immigration and security and keeping this from happening, because the biggest victims are union workers, legal immigrants, people that have done things the right way. They're in these working class communities that are most affected by people that are doing things the wrong way. So the working class get hit the hardest. The reason why the Democratic Party is losing so many voters is because the working class are waking up to the fact the Democratic Party doesn't really care about them. That's why we have things like the walkaway movement and all of these racial movements, these identity movements that are about different identity groups that the Democratic Party has neglected. So they're all leaving the Democratic Party and they're going elsewhere because the Democrats have just used them for votes. That's really all they've cared about.
I just want to take a second to kind of pause what we're doing here and tell you that I've got goosebumps really bad, because just the thought of people getting used just for their votes, especially the Democratic Party, who has chosen to remain faithful and stay a Democrat because of them core beliefs, it bothers me that you are just used for votes. You're a people. You're not a tool. That is so degrading, and it's heartbreaking. And first of all, I just like to say thank you for staying faithful to the party that had founded this country. But I also want to give you a big, huge hug and an apology. And we can skip the hug if you're not into that. But I just want to give you a big, huge apology and a thank you, but an apology. I'm sorry that we couldn't have all come together to stop this for your sake a lot sooner. All right, that's all I wanted to say about that. Thank you.
People are tired of being used for votes. People want to know that their views are being heard and that they're being treated like people. I mean, that's a very common thing. And the Democratic Party is the enemy of the people. Not just the enemy of the people, in Trump's words, but it's the enemy of people generally. They treat people like animals.
Well, man, I'm going to safely say you've been the absolute best person I've ever had on my podcast so far, with the most meaningful information that's going to help the country. And that's no disrespect to anybody else that I've had on, but I've been trying to get this kind of conversation going on with anybody. My mom, my cousin, anybody. And while they are helpful in some respect, it just hasn't been as in-depth and as careful. And whenever I say careful, I mean what you really like. You can tell you really care about what's going on. You really care about this country. You really care about these people. And so I just want to say thank you for coming on. And is there anything else that you'd like to say to the public?
Just thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate being able to talk to you, being on the podcast. Anybody that wants to give me a heads up, give me a phone call, send me a text. It's 602-502-5612. I become the candidate that actually just kind of gives you my number. Sort of like a Mike Jones for politics, if you get my reference there. But anybody that wants to can give me a call at any time. Send me a text message and let me know what's happening, what's going on. Defeat socialism again, and have a great 2020. Appreciate you having me on, man.
That's what's up. Thank you, Craig. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. Thank you for wanting to help save the country. Thank you for everything, man. You've been a wonderful, wonderful person who has done nothing but contribute everything you could to this country somehow. And even with the ways you've not chosen the best choices, you've still chosen the best outcomes from the bad choices that you've chosen to make in your life. And I want to celebrate that and say awesome to us changing our lives and moving forward. You too can be this awesome.